Hi, I'm Adil Bandukwala.
And I'm Kaushik Satish, and this is the Great Indian Marketing Show, where we go behind the scenes with top marketing leaders.
We uncover not just what marketers do, but how. I'm delighted today to be speaking with Angad Soni, founder of Sepoy & Co., India's first and only international award-winning mixer company. If you're a seasoned drinker, chances are you would have sipped Sepoy & Company's offering premium mixers, including tonic waters and ginger ale. Sepoy & Co. eschews high-calorie sweeteners and artificial flavors in favor of natural oils, the finest botanicals, and hand-picked quinines. Famous for its elegant bottles, the brand has partnered with environment-friendly zero-waste initiative Glass to Sand, which crushes empty glass bottles into sand to stop them from going into landfills.
The idea for Sepoy & Co. came to Angad on a flight from Delhi to London when he ordered a glass of G&T and was offered premium botanical mixes instead of the regular tonic. After numerous conversations with friends and family about why there weren't any such offerings in India's mixer market, Angad decided to start Sepoy & Co. Since its debut in 2018, the company has won prestigious awards like the Superior Taste Awards in 2019 and 2020 by the International Taste Institute of Brussels. Its standout elegant packaging has only helped further its popularity amongst millennials and India's fast-growing premium mixer market.
Angad, welcome to the Great Indian Marketing Show, and cheers with one of my favorite beverages these days, which is the Sepoy & Company's ginger ale.
Hey guys, thank you so much for getting me on the show. Kaushik and Adil, big fan of the work that you're doing. You know, it's just discussing such interesting topics. I think it's pretty exciting. And hello to all your listeners.
Awesome. So Angad, I'll tell you how I came across Sepoy & Co. first. A few weeks back, I happened to come across your ginger ale, and given it was low carb, I immediately pulled the trigger and bought it online. When I received it, I was blown away by its incredible packaging. And when I indulged in the ginger ale, its taste was not only refreshing, but it was very pleasing to the palate as well. Would love to hear the backstory on how Sepoy & Co. happened. I know Kaushik gave us a little color when we were introducing you, but what was it like? How did the idea germinate? Where did it start? And where are you in your journey today?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about the story. Honestly, I'm a big gin and tonic drinker, and tonics being one of the most popular mixers out there. You know, I was drinking fantastic gins, and then the only available mixer in India was, you know, kind of Schweppes or Catch Tonic and things like that. And honestly, that was what was available, and that's what we all consumers drank. The flight from Delhi to London, afternoon flight, sat back, vacation is about to begin, got myself a gin and tonic, and they got me a can of Fever Tree. So I looked at this small can of Fever Tree I've never seen before. I read up what's written on the can, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Natural ingredients. It said all natural ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, preservatives, or flavorings. So I was like, okay, you know, what's the fuss about? Obviously had the gin and tonic and it tasted really good. Obviously to me, I was like, okay, even psychologically, I'm in vacation mode, so anything would taste good, right? But you know, it actually caught my attention. That summer in London, whenever I was ordering a gin and tonic, 80% of the time I was getting a can of Fever Tree or a bottle of Fever Tree. So that really caught my attention. I was like, what is this? Why am I not being served Schweppes, like, you know, the good old tonic? I dug a little deeper. I started reading a little bit more about Fever Tree. And then eventually what they say is that 3/4 of your gin and tonic is the tonic, right? So why are you mixing with artificial ingredients where your gin is made with all natural ingredients? And, you know, people go to the ends of the world to like formulate gin with unique botanicals, you know, and things like that. So it's quite interesting where you think about it, that you're having this really good gin with natural ingredients, but then you're mixing it with a tonic, which is made with like sodium benzoate as a preservative or like aspartame as a sweetener. A, they're unhealthy, and B, it just claws the experience. So literally that's what just started, you know, raising some alarms in my head that this is something really cool. So came back to India, looked at the market and things like that. It just did not exist. All we would have on shelves were a can of Schweppes or a plastic bottle of Catch at about 50 rupees. There were very limited brands like Fever Tree, which were being imported into India at a price point of 180 rupees. And then there was this big gap in the middle. So it was very interesting for me to sort of just look at the idea of getting involved in a consumer-facing product where, honestly, for me, I was just thinking that it'll be really cool and fun to just interact with people over gin and tonics, right? And so I literally just started looking at it from that perspective. And yeah, so that's what really ignited the thought to just dig a little bit deeper into the mixer market. And very happy to, you know, see the kind of response that Sepoy has got over the period of 2.5 years since we launched. And it's been quite an interesting and challenging journey. So that's how the idea came about. And obviously the unique element to this entire piece was we wanted to create the flavor profiles that would resonate with the Indian palate more than what somebody sitting in Europe or Asia, you know, or America would consider, you know. So that was really exciting. Underlying rule was, you know, we want to create something premium for the Indian market. No artificial ingredients are going to be used. Flavor profiles have to suit the Indian palate. And we try to avoid using as much plastic. As a matter of fact, the only plastic I'm using is the tape that goes onto the cardboard box. And that's only because when I tried paper tape, A, it's extremely expensive, and B, it just did not sustain. Because shipping from Delhi to anywhere in India, you can imagine the challenges that we'd face shipping a carbonated beverage in a glass bottle, right? Because even though you can fill your cardboard box with as many fragile stickers on it, that box is still going to face a lot of damage. Okay, that box is going to fall all over the place. That was another challenge that I faced very early on in our journey. And very happy to say that now we ship over like 3,000 boxes a month. And the breakages or damages are about 1%, which is quite considerable in terms of the R&D and the thought that really went into putting this piece together.
Angad, that's very well said, because that was one of the first things that I observed. So I bought my first batch of drinks directly from your website. And I noticed that it shipped from Chandigarh directly to my house, which is now in Belgaum, Karnataka. It's a pretty small town. And I was wondering, because your website shows these beautiful glass bottles. And I was like, how is he going to deliver glass bottles in a courier? And then I saw a nice, pretty little white box that comes in. I opened the box and it's got a layer on top, which holds the necks of the bottles together. You get rid of that layer, and then below there's another middle layer and then a bottom layer to ensure that the bottles stay intact. And it's beautiful, not only the way you've designed bottles so that people can consume the end product, but the way you've designed the packaging just to ensure the structural integrity of the bottle remains and people get to experience it as well as it looks pretty on the website itself. So I was blown away with that. And then when I kind of put it up on LinkedIn, you saw the kind of virality it got. People were all about, oh, wow, this is really cool. And some of my friends who tried it, they kind of got in as well. The other thing that I want to talk to you about, Angad, is you started off with ginger ale and tonic water, but recently you introduced premium lemonades. I tried them, and the tropical one is my go-to beverage of choice these days. I'm a teetotaler. And the fact that I'm liking your drinks is like an even bigger compliment, because I don't pair your beverages with any alcohol. And I'm probably a minority who does that. But would love to understand, how do you start thinking about getting into the lemonades segment? What does your product mix look like today? And how are you reimagining the future for yourself?
Well, Adil, thank you so much for enjoying the beverages. I'm so glad to know that you're enjoying them and you drink them straight without pairing it with any kind of spirit. So, you know, the most exciting thing is, and interesting thing is, that in this category of mixers, your mixers are essentially made or balanced, and they're also called adult soft beverages in Europe. What this really means is that consumers like yourself who don't drink at all, or consumers who choose not to drink that particular day, whenever they go out socializing, they prefer to have a tonic or a ginger ale or a lemonade or a bitter lemon rather than a Coke or a Pepsi, which is easily available. It's in your house. You know, it's just that experience. So beverages, mixers are meant to be perfectly balanced in the sense that they have to complement the spirit that you're going to pair it with. At the same time, consumers should be able to enjoy it chilled, just in a glass with ice or without ice as well. That's what literally a good mixer company will think through to achieve. And that's exactly what we went ahead and did. So the balance of all of our drinks is very drinkable, or you can enjoy the drinks just as a soft drink by itself, just chilled or with some ice in it. And for consumers who want to pair it with the spirit, They're specifically designed, for example, the tonic for the gin and for vodka. We got ginger ale for bourbon. We've got tropical lemonade now for dark rum, a very nice tiki drink you can easily make at home. The classic lemonade, again, vodka and gin. The rose lemonade for sparkling wine, for vodka, for gin. You know, so when we think through all of our recipes and we work through our R&D for the balance, at the back of our mind, it's equally important to ensure that, you know, we're targeting a market where a consumer should just be able to drink it on its own. So I'm very happy to know that you as a teetotaler is also enjoying drinks. I think that's incredible because now there's variety, there's choice. You know, we wanted to give Indian consumers something beyond your Cokes and Diet Cokes and Pepsis and Thumbs Ups and Limcas and things like that, or juices, just to enjoy. But the focus will always be on spirits. You know, we're thinking about the spirit and creating beverages for that spirit at the same time, ensuring that the balance is right for you to enjoy it on its own. So for example, like the ginger ale that you were talking about, we use an Indian ginger and an African ginger. The Indian ginger is like the mother of ginger. It's got that spice. That's where the punch comes in from. The African ginger brings a little bit of the sweetness with it. We paired that with a beautiful citric, and that just rounded off the entire sort of experience. And obviously, if you look at all my drinks, they're all low calories. So that was another underlying sort of checkpoint that we ensure in all of our drinks. We are a low calorie beverage. You know, a lot of companies take out diet drinks. We don't do diet because diet essentially means you're putting aspartame in it. You know, diet doesn't mean like there's no sweetness in it. It just means that there's no sugar, but the replacement of sugar is aspartame, which for us, we don't want to go towards. So we spend a lot of time, a lot of resources in getting the R&D piece together for all of our drinks.
Angad, tell us a bit about where the name came from. It's a very interesting stand-up name, Sepoy & Co. How did that come about?
So the reason why they call it Indian tonic water is because it was invented in India. It was invented during the British Raj. Essentially, it was because in India, a lot of British soldiers at the time, or even Indian soldiers, were dying because of malaria, fever. And they had to come up with a cure on how to fix this. So they found out that the Spaniards used a medicinal product called quinine. How they found it was that some Spanish royalty who was extremely sick, required some kind of medication, and they found this in South America, in Peru. So anyways, to cut a long story short, the Brits decided that this is very important. They have to bring in quinine. They have to grow it in India. They try to build plantations in India. There is some quinine plantation available in India. It's in a place called Dalgaon. It's closer to Bengal and Bhutan, that region. The quality of quinine is still not that pure as is the African quinine, which we use in our drinks. So to cut a long story short, the Brits had to bring in quinine and the soldiers were mandated to have quinine because it was the only medicine that would protect them from malaria. Now, the product was so bitter, it was literally unpalatable. So they literally had to take quinine, mix it with soda water, add sugar and make it like something that they could consume. So that became the tonic. And at that time, gin was the spirit that all the Britishers used to drink. Mm-hmm. So they're like, listen, we still have to consume this kind of bitter tonic with quinine. We need to consume this to survive. Let me just put gin in it so I can enjoy an evening drink and I get my dose of quinine. So that's mm-hmm. how Indian tonic water literally started, right? When I started off, I wanted to obviously make something for India. And the story goes that tonic water was invented in India, but all the fun is being had by companies around the world, you know. So why not create a story around this? This is such an important topic, a touch point that people, A, should know the origins of tonic. And, you know, literally, let's celebrate it a little bit here. Essentially, quinine was used to prevent malaria and to help the soldiers. So we thought of soldiers, we thought of sipahis, and then the word sepoy came along, which is still in use. So that's how the name came up.
Fascinating. When I go to your website, you know, I see on your about page, it says from London to Delhi via Norway. Yeah. What is the Norway connection over here?
So, yeah, this is really exciting. While we were getting our recipes developed in the UK, we had to also look at packaging, right? Branding and packaging. Mm-hmm. And from day one, we said, we're not going to use plastics. We didn't want to use a can because we felt that it didn't bring in that premium sort of vibe that we wanted to go with. So glass was the only option. my wife and I literally sat down and we're like, listen, we got to find a good agency that can help us with branding. She's got a very keen eye for these things. So, you know, she opens up Behance and, you know, literally we start looking at companies all the way from New York to London to Japan to Australia to India, like the whole gamut, right? We got in touch with a lot of companies. And we came across this company out of Norway whose work we both fell in love with. It's that thing that you just, after you've seen a bunch of companies and a bunch of work, how you're like, oh my God, this is just amazing, right? Yeah. So we actually ended up working with that firm, and that company is from Norway. So they did our branding and designing the bottle and things like that. So that's how it's from London to Delhi via Norway.
Got it. So when you say branding, obviously, I'm guessing it includes the identity, the logo, the color schemes, everything. I mean, along with obviously the bottle packaging, right?
Correct.
I'm just wondering, what was your brief to them? Because everything looks so nice and so well put together. It's so cohesive. So as founders, what was your brief to this agency?
So, you know, exactly what I told you about the story of the Indian tonic water and where it started, how it started, what was the reason. We gave them that entire pitch. And I thought it was very cool that, you know, they did not know the history of British and India. They didn't know the story. So they were sitting on the fence. So they could see it from another perspective, from another lens. And obviously there were certain touch points where we said that we got to stay away from certain topics, right? Certain things can get a little emotional. And yet we wanted to celebrate the idea that Indian tonic water was invented in India for the soldiers. So their thought and their view on it was very, very interesting. And that's what sort of transpired here, where you can see that the bottle design is inspired from a vintage medicinal bottle.
Wow. Okay.
You can see that the branding and the label is very classic. It's very old school, like timeless. Yeah. You know, that's something that I always wanted. See, I'm also a big fan of general architecture. I'm a fan of, you know, classic architecture. I'm a fan of columns and like pillars and like, you know, there's just certain things that would look so good today, and it'll also look good 20, 30 years down the line, you know, that classic element. So that's what was really given to them as a brief. And that's the stuff that you guys are seeing. And it was quite exciting to work with these guys. Very happy that I found them.
I mean, it's fascinating that it's so well blended, all these different elements that you just spoke about, you know, your interests and the history that you spoke about. All of that seems to have come together very well. Shifting gears a bit over here, you said that you started shipping 3,000 boxes a month. Am I right?
3,000 boxes is just our online sales. You know, obviously that's one vertical of the business. The other vertical is B2B, which is more routed through distributors in India.
Yeah. Got it. Can you help us understand a bit about what your initial go-to-market strategy was? How did you think about going to market? What were you targeting? What cities or segments were you looking at initially when you launched Sipoy & Co.?
So we're a Delhi-based company. And the first thing to me was, listen, how do I get this bottle into somebody's home, right? Because at home, people are drinking the good gin, the good spirits. You know, they're entertaining friends and family. They want to pull out the nicer bottles of alcohol at some point. I believe alcohol is very aspirational. And that's why there's a reason that if you look at Johnny Walker, you've got the red labels, the black label, then gold label, then blue label. You'll notice that a lot of these alcohol brands have different alcohol at different price points. Mm-hmm. And if I was drinking a nice bottle of gin, I wanted to serve a nice bottle of tonic. So for me, the number one thing was, how do I get this into people's homes? So from day one, in December 2018, we launched our website. And we literally just opened it to Delhi NCR. And we just kind of word of mouth, just try to receive orders and execute all those orders ourselves within Delhi NCR. So literally that was the initial strategy. How do I get it into people's homes? So we got a very, very big advantage into understanding the e-commerce or the D2C ecosystem much earlier than any other brands. And Adil, when you spoke about how I could ship you a case from Delhi to your house without any damages, it's because we did experience a lot of damages with our old packaging. You know, we did a lot of R&D, we lost a lot of money, but that's what pushed us into innovating, right? And at that time, no brand, and I'm talking Cokes and Pepsis, the big boys, nobody was shipping carbonated beverage in a glass bottle. I mean, no one even thought of doing it. We're a very small team, but I'm very happy about the fact that we could put this together and pull it off. So like I said, the strategy was e-commerce direct to consumer from day one. We continue to push that. We continue to drive that. As a matter of fact, COVID really helped us in our journey because people, they were not going to bars. They were entertaining at home in whatever small manner that they could. And we were able to ship soft drinks to them, Pan India. So that kind of helped us. Obviously, there's a big push in a business to business as well through our distributor channels, Pan India.
Thank you for sharing that, Angad. Angad, what about pricing? I'm very curious. Like, India is a large, complex, heavily distributed market. How do you go about figuring out pricing? You gave us a little peek initially when you started saying that some products were priced at about a 200 level, but there was a sweet spot that you were kind of eyeing. How did you go about identifying that, and what's the current outlook like?
Let me rewind it a little bit. See, now, when I say that we only use natural ingredients, and the natural ingredients doesn't mean that we're sourcing them from average places. Our raw material is very expensive. We source from around the world from the best companies that are out there. So immediately your input costs go up considerably, you know, and because we're not super big company like a Coke, Pepsi, where economies of scale kick in when you, let's say, buy millions of glass bottles at one time, for me, I have a limited purchase, you know, so it's still a little expensive at this stage. So keeping in mind what we're trying to create for the Indian consumer, the ingredients that we're using, the work that's involved into doing this, it was going to be an expensive product. For obvious reasons, all larger companies go for the bottom of the pyramid target audience where, you know, you have 20, 30 rupee mixers, but it's for mass market, right? To achieve that number, there is a compromise on ingredients. And all I'm thinking is that people like me, consumers like me, let's face it, India has the biggest middle income population in the world, right? Which is again growing. You know, it's not like they're going down, they're going to go up. They're aspiring to consume better. It could be anything from clothes to shoes to food to drinks. You know, they want to consume better. There was this market which I feel like brands just ignored completely. And clear case in point, 2 years ago, this market just didn't exist. You know, nobody was looking at it. Otherwise, why didn't the Cokes and the Pepsis get involved immediately? So we looked at it in that segment that, listen, we need to make it affordable luxury. And we don't care if it's not bottom of the pyramid. Let's go middle of the pyramid. Let's go a little top of the pyramid where we can work our way downwards. But let's create a quality product that consumers, at least majority of the consumers who buy, will be like, you know what? I don't mind paying this because the product is good. You know, I think we're experiencing that in India in general. So my strategy was to target that. And another point was that I never wanted to get into the three numerical number. So 100 rupee is 100 rupee. It just sounds and looks expensive. So for us, 95 rupee was the risk that we were willing to take when we launched. And we continue to sell our products at 95 rupees. What's happened is that competition, some of these guys, they started off at 65 rupees. And they work their way upwards and now they sell at 85 rupees, for example, right? And there's some brands which are selling at 99 rupees. There's some brands that sell at 120 rupees. So now what's really interesting is quality mixers, there's a price band of 70, 75 rupees to 110, 120 rupees. So everybody's just sort of figuring themselves out in that space.
Very insightful, Angad. Moving from pricing to distribution. For a lot of D2C brands, a core priority is distribution and reach. And you talked about how you have a digital channel and then you have the offline distribution reach as well. How are you currently distributing Sepoy's drinks? Is there a definitive old school playbook that you borrowed from? Or did you reimagine and come out with a completely new canvas? What is happening from a distribution priority standpoint at Sepoy?
Look, there is a huge old school distribution network in India that has to be tapped into. If you want to get involved and get products physically in retail stores or on-premise, which is hotels, bars, and restaurants, you need to very seriously look at the traditional distribution model because these guys have by themselves worked decades in creating their businesses, which is distribution. And it's critical. It's vital for the kind of products that we're in. So when I started trying to reach out to distributors in Delhi, NCR, Bombay. Obviously, first thing is that, you know, stop wasting my time, man. Like, I'm not going to do this. Till somebody who's like, okay, you want me to distribute your stuff? Cool, I'll do it. You have to hire a team of people who's going to go out in market to sell it. You are going to convince them or pressurize them for payments. When I get my payment is when I will release your payment. So like literally we were at the beck and call of distributors to now, thank God, and I'm so glad that the product has caught on. Now we get calls from distributors around India to inquire if they could take Sepoy on. It's quite rewarding where, you know, we can work out good structures where as a startup company, we need our cash flows to continue to flow, right? On a monthly basis. If we don't, we're going to fall off the cliff. And luckily, you know, we've started engaging with really good distributors around India who are enjoying working with us, really, who are enjoying distributing Sepoy. Some of the things that we paid attention to was that, see, again, this product is very niche. It's going to go to your modern trade. It's going to go to your food halls and the Nature's Basket and like the modern bazaars. That's going to be the touch point for the kind of consumer that we're targeting. So one thing was pretty sure in our minds that we want to work with distributors who have other good products that they're sort of supplying, you know, like imported chocolates for that matter, imported sauces, pastas, things like that. So that was our sort of target, I would say, that these are the things that we keep in mind when we consider a good distributor to work with. Obviously, there are different distributors for different businesses. Now, if I was, let's say, doing a 30 rupee drink, I would have to get in touch with somebody who has that mass market, every corner, panwala shop, you know, that kind of distributor model. But that's not what we are targeting at the moment. So obviously, we kept certain of these touch points in mind, and that's how we select our distributors. But it's extremely, extremely important to tap into the traditional distributor model, because if you want scale, width of distribution, that's the kind of way to go. Otherwise, it's not going to.
Angad, I was just asking, you know, the premium mixer market rose on the back of the gin revolution that we have been seeing at least for the last 5 to 6 years, first in Europe, and now we're seeing it play out here as well. I'm just curious to understand, are you seeing us following the same trend? You know, like the premium mixer market basically follows the gin revolution over here as well, or do you see it playing out here differently because consumers here have different tastes, different preferences, and they've figured a way to sort of use premium mixers differently?
So this is a really, really exciting conversation as well. Let's say if you look back when you guys were in high school and, you know, there used to be some song that would come up in America and, you know, you would somehow figure out Billboard top 100 songs that are available and you try to convince someone in your family who's either traveling to the United States or is coming or whatever to get you a CD, right? And by the time that CD would come to you and you'd play it in front of your friends, you're already like 3-4 months down the line when that song was number one. But it's a trend. It's something that you wanted to do. What you heard over there, you want to play it here. And today, if a song is released in the United States, at the same time, you're listening to it over here in India. The reason why I say this is, as a trend, how trends in India used to take years to kind of come in. Mm-hmm. Now, trends are happening within months or weeks, you know. So this is really, really cool. Now, obviously, the people who are traveling out of India know what's going on. Like you rightly said, 8-9 years ago, gin and tonic boom happened and continues to happen across Europe. And now we see that happen in India in the last 2 years. I remember talking to the founder of Greater Than, Anand, great guy. Mm-hmm. Back in 2018, he was in Delhi also. Now all these guys have moved to Goa to like sunny beaches and left us in Delhi. Hopefully I'll also move to Goa at some point. But obviously they craft their gin there. So, you know, we would have conversations about the kind of work that he put in to create gin and what is the market like what are his thoughts and experiences. Back in 2018, we would just look at each other and be like, man, is this people like you and me who are gin and tonic drinkers who are like kind of, you know, talking about gin and it's word of mouth, or, you know, you see them at very, very few parties and things like that. Till today, where you're seeing so many people consume gin and tonics. Apparently, it's called the millennials drink now, right? It's Instagrammable. And something really cool that happened in India that kind of helped really push the G&T scene was like, while these guys were creating really good craft gin coming out of Goa, at the same time, there were brands like Sepoy and other brands that were making premium mixers. It's not like we thought of it that we'll get into the market at the same time and like we'll prepare products at the same time. It was coincidental, purely. So now what's happened is that the entire G&T scene in India, which you're experiencing, is because both the gin and the mixers in India, made in India, quality products are world-class. And putting them together is giving the Indian consumer a fantastic drink. You know, so it just happened by coincidence, but this scene has now caught on here. And now what's happening is, it's just not the gin and tonic that people are really consuming. Now people are like, hey, listen, this is cool. Like this tonic water is really cool. Or now this ginger ale is really cool. Let me pair it with a bourbon. Let me pair it with a whiskey and make it a whiskey highball. Now that we've taken out lemonades, now we're like, for example, targeting rum, darker spirits. So, you know, now consumers are also experimenting because they're seeing trends happen on Instagram, right? Which are not just limited to a gin and tonic, but like really cool cocktails that you can make at home. So this trend has just started. We're barely scratching the surface. You'll see a lot of improvements happening in people's home bars only because they've got access to quality information on YouTube to make cocktails, or Instagram where they see their bars and restaurants putting out recipes. We put out recipes. You can see if you go to any bar now, the kind of level that's come up in terms of mixology. Gone are the days where they were making a Sex on the Beach or a mojito. Now it's about like whiskey sours, Negronis, spirit forward drinks. The level has just gone up a notch over here. And this is the same like any you would get like in Hong Kong, Singapore, London. You know, now the level is going up in India.
Is this something that you're seeing primarily in the big cities, but are you also seeing this play out in like tier twos?
The trends, when they come into India, it kind of comes into big cities, your Bangalores, your Mumbai, Delhis, and then it gets set over there. Those trends then end up going towards tier two cities where they too want to have or experience what Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore are experiencing. For example, I know a bar, I believe they're doing a fantastic job in Amritsar. Now, these guys, they've traveled, they're on Instagram, they're seeing what's happening. They said that, listen, we want to create an experience for consumers in Amritsar, which is up in Punjab. And they got mixologists from around India to come in and set up their menu and teach and train their bartenders or their in-house mixologists on what's really, really cool or what's really good. And, you know, that's something really, really exciting. Now, these restaurateurs or bar owners are not just focused on the food part of it. Now, even the bar is given equal importance, you know, because people want it. So the more bar owners can give it to the consumer, there's a consumer who's going to consume it. That's what we're experiencing and which is really cool. So it's slowly but surely going to trickle into other parts of India as well.
Got it. I know we're running out of time. And before we let you go, I have to ask you, what are your two go-to recipes that you would want to share with our listeners?
Wow. A gin and tonic is a gin and tonic. You know, it's just like my favorite drink to have, honestly. And, you know, we've actually taken out a pairing chart for consumers that can literally bring out one bottle of gin. It could be any gin of your choice and literally pair it with the different tonics that we have to experience different drinks. My number one drink, honestly, is a gin and tonic. And apart from that, I am venturing into rum. Rum is going to be the next big thing and trying to cook up some interesting mixes for those. So the tropical lemonade, like I said, is an amazing tropical with a dark rum, with a little bit of coconut water that you could add, you know, give yourself a nice tiki drink. So that's my latest obsession these days.
That's good news for the rum drinkers, because I know a lot of them have been complaining that they're not getting the same love as the gin drinkers.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think there's a big scope over there. And we are in-house working on mixers that could cater to the rum industry.
Lovely.
That's a wrap on our podcast. Thank you, Angad, for joining in. This has been super insightful. I'm sure like all our listeners are going to be waiting for this episode to launch and then to listen in. So thanks a lot for your time today.
Guys, thank you so much. Again, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I can't wait for you guys to put this all together to release it. Please let me know so I can broadcast it across all my friends and family. Had a super time chatting with you guys. And Kaushik, do you drink?
Oh, yeah.
So I got to meet you for a gin and tonic, and Adil will give you all the tonics just to drink over ice.
Sounds good.
Sounds awesome. Like a plan. Thanks a lot,
Angad. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Hey, that was our conversation with Angad Soni, the founder of Sepoy & Co.
Thank you for joining us. And if you've liked what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe to us. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast networks. Until our next episode, this is me, Adil Bandukwala.
And Kaushik Satish, signing off for the Great Indian Marketing Show.